to present the first part.
Thank you very much, Mr. Appiah. You're welcome. Mr. Amaro, you're on.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Minister, and Honorable Members and Colleagues. I'm not going to go through the outline as it is there. The background also, basically maybe what I can say here is, as the Secretary has indicated, the focus is on the outside factors or the socio-economic factors that we believe are impacting on policing. And we are also looking at internal issues that need to be addressed. So when we speak about internal issues, the focus or the reference period is July to December 2017. So the sum of the numbers that we will present might be slightly different from the subs due to the different reference periods. So we are looking at the five stations. So honorable members will recall that we have indicated that we will be doing the census for police stations. So though we haven't completed, but the information that we're presenting is some of it is coming from the NMT that we've already implemented. Now, in terms of the analysis of the stations, in terms of Nyanga, we have realized based on what SAPS presented or the crime stats that overall contact crime has decreased, but murder and common robbery have increased. In terms of Michelle's Plain, overall contact crimes have decreased while common assault, murder, sexual offenses, attempted murder, and assault GBH have increased. With regard to Kagiso, overall contact crimes have increased with murder, sexual offenses, and common robbery having increased. The second last will be Joburg Central, where overall contact crime has decreased while murder, sexual offenses, assault, GBH, common assault, and common robbery have increased. Lastly, Hebro experienced a decrease in overall contact crimes, but murder, sexual offenses, and attempted murder have increased. Now, in terms of the Nyanga Police Station, looking at the socio-economic conditions that we believe are also impacting on policing and maybe also contributing towards the crime. So we have noted the issue of unemployment in the policing precinct, the issue of overpopulation in residential areas, which obviously affect the way how subs will do their policing, inadequate provision of basic services by other relevant departments or local government. There is a challenge with illegal liquor outlets, alcohol and drug abuse, unrest and violent protests that have been happening in those in the area. Then there is also an issue of inequality. So we're not looking now inwardly within the precinct, but comparing this precinct and outside, we see that we can talk about low salaries or income rates for this area. And of course, there's also an issue of informal settlements. And we believe that these socio-economic conditions have an impact in the way how policing can be done within the precinct. Now, looking inwardly, so when we presented our or tabled our reports, DVA reports in 2017, for this particular police station, so we had said that they've got significant compliance in terms of DVA. So they may not be having full compliance, but at least it was recorded as significant as at 76%. One common problem that they have here is the influx of community members for certification of documents and obtaining of affidavits within the station on a regular basis. We have also noted that there were 37 service delivery complaints that were recorded during that six-month period. So this will include 33 for police misconduct, 2 poor investigation, and lack of feedback. So this is what communities have reported. Then in terms of the challenges that they have with accommodation, you will find that the detectives are located about 5 kilometers away, which is a challenge in terms of accommodation, I believe, in most of the police stations. They also have challenges now in terms of detectives where some of them don't have the necessary support that they need. In terms of vehicles, so the records that were given for the period, the 6 months, so it was indicated that 81 vehicles were issued, but of those, 14 vehicles were at SAPS garages, 10 vehicles were boarded and 16 vehicles were in poor condition, which is then becomes also a challenge for members when they have got to do their work. We also got information that firearms were lost during that 6 months, but four of those were recovered. One challenge that we've also identified with regard to human resources is the high utilization of sick leave. I need to indicate that for this particular station, we get records of about 284 members who took leave during that period. So, but I need to indicate, Honorable Chairperson, that we were not able to establish what the causes are. So this could be maybe due to the stressful conditions under which they work, or it could be anything else. So, but this is something that we have identified, and we are of the view that the employee health and wellness program maybe needs to be intensified so that causes of this challenge can also be identified. So moving to Michelle's plane, I need to indicate that these socio-economic challenges that we are presenting here were also detailed in the SAP's presentation. So the issue of informal settlements, the lack of basic services, issues around domestic violence are also prevalent in this area. Dysfunctional families where, as an example, you talk about unsupervised children roaming all over and resulting in them their lives being in danger. The issue of alcohol and drug abuse, gangsterism and related violence and unrest and violent protest. So a number of protests were recorded, some of which were violent in this area. So which again impact on the way how SAPS should work, as the causes of this protest are not necessarily policing matters, but matters from other sister departments or local government. In terms of internal issues, so Michelle's plan in terms of compliance to DVA, which we reported previously, was one of the best performing in this regard. 92% compliance was noted. Again, they also have a challenge in terms of influx of community members, again, for issues around certification and affidavits, and of course other services. 81 service delivery complaints were recorded, majority of which was in terms of lack of feedback and also poor investigation. They've also indicated to us that there are shortages in terms of human resources in the station. One challenge that they've also indicated was with regard to the filing cabinets. So they lack filing cabinets for detectives, where it results in some cases with documents being lost, though they will reopen them. There was this challenge of firearms that were lost, about 15 within that 6 months period. Only two of those were recovered. In terms of vehicles, they had 91 vehicles, 26 vehicles were at SAPS garages, and seven vehicles were boarded, with 12 vehicles in poor condition. Again, this station also realizes the high utilization of sick leave. In this particular period, about 341 members had taken sick leave. Moving to Kahiso Police Station, they have a challenge with illegal liquor outlets, and there is a rapid population growth. So I believe when a police station was established, it had to serve a certain size of population, but now you've got this rapid growth which now poses a challenge now to SAPS. There is also a challenge here with second-hand goods dealers in this area. Informal settlement also is a challenge, and alcohol and drug abuse. And we have unrest and violent protest, again, on matters that have nothing to do with SAPS, but sister departments. Then, in terms of internal issues, so the way is 11 service delivery complaints, a majority of which is lack of feedback to the complainants or those who opened cases, and of course issues around the shortfall in terms of human resources, mainly due to this expansion of the settlement. There were about 4 bulletproof bullet resistance vests and 5 cell phones that were lost, and they were not recovered. They had 66 vehicles. Of the 66 vehicles, 7 vehicles were at garages, 3 were boarded, and 15 vehicles were in poor condition. So there is this common trend in this police station in terms of high usage of the sick leave. And as I indicated, we haven't really established what is really causing this, which might be maybe due to the stressful conditions in which they work. Then in terms of Johannesburg Central, there is congestion or high transit on a daily basis, people who are coming in during the morning and leaving in the afternoon, as was also alluded to by the CPF chairperson. There is a challenge with alcohol and drug abuse, and now the issue of second-hand goods dealers is also a challenge here, where some of them are even bought from criminals. Internal issues here, we had 28 service delivery complaints, police misconduct 11, about poor investigation 8, and lack of feedback in 5 cases. There is a perception, I need to emphasize that this is not a factual finding, but there is a perception when we speak with members of public that they think that some members of SAPS are colluding with criminals and they are not really committed to their work. And there are 3 incidents of detainee escapees that were realized in this police station, with 35 suspects involved, and 19 were rearrested during that period. There is also, again, a challenge with the register, docket store register. 2 firearms and 76 bullet-resistant vests were lost, and they were not recovered during that period. They had 106 vehicles, 19 vehicles were at the garage, 5 vehicles were boarded, and 4 were in poor condition. About 178 staff members at the police station took sick leave during the period. Now, the last police station will be Heilbron, where issues around overcrowding of the residential area and also even the businesses was reported. They have a challenge with hijacked buildings or dilapidated and abandoned. They also have issues around illegal or informal traders, including illegal liquor traders. There is influx of undocumented foreign nationals in this area. And there is a challenge with regard to the vagrants and street children in the Heilbron precinct. There is also a challenge with poor and outdated essential services such as electricity and sewerage. That is basically poor and aging infrastructure. And there is an issue around the alcohol and drug abuse. Internally, during the 6-month period, 29 service delivery complaints were reported. 13 has to do with police misconduct, 10 poor investigation, and negligence and lack of feedback. There's again challenges with filing cabinets for detectives and shortages in terms of personnel. 2 hand radios and 2 bullet resistance vests were lost with no recovery. They had 123 vehicles, 18 vehicles at the garage, 4 vehicles boarded, and 7 vehicles in poor condition. So in terms of high utilization of sick leave, this station had about 346 employees during the 6-month period who took a sick leave. Thank you, Chairperson.
Much. Mr. Appiah.
Thank you. Ms. Omar will deal with the second part of the presentation.
Thank you. Good morning, Honorable Chair, Minister, Honorable Members and colleagues. Chair, we've heard a lot about the issues from SEPS this morning and from my colleague. So in order to take this process, you know, we want to see how we're going to implement and address the crime issues and particularly the socio-economic issues in the areas. So as everybody knows, there was a 2016 white paper summit recently where we are promoting an integrated approach to address the crime problem, and we're saying that crime goes beyond the purview of the police. They can't address everything. So so what we want to do is implement this white paper, and we'd like to look at it in these 5 high crime areas as well. So what we're recommending, Chair, the table, next 2 tables, General Rabi, please. We just listed the issues that had come up from our presentation, and I see it's also repeated in the SAP's presentation. So the column on the left are the issues, and on the right-hand side there's a role of responsibilities of the relevant government departments that need to address these issues. Now, Chair, I'll just use the first row as an example where we talk about basic services, which is the role of local government. In illegal and informal traders, which is the role of Metro Police as well as Department of Small Business Development. And so it goes on and on, Chair. So we've identified in our implementation framework, which I have copies of here, which we can distribute, the relevant departments responsible to address these issues. And General Rabi, maybe if you can go into the next slide after, please. The two slides, the tables just talk to basically the roles of the relevant departments to address the issue. So basically what we're saying that implementation of the white paper to address the socio-economic issues is premised on political and administrative leadership. And local government is critical to this. Many of the issues in the areas are the responsibility of municipalities, and we need to get local government on board. But they also need to budget for community safety. And in the absence of community safety forums, which, you know, is a big issue in terms of it's an unfunded mandate, we're saying safety should be located in the IDPs of municipalities. And that's as per the Constitution, Chair. So the white paper also locates implementation responsibility, or the champion would be the president. So what we're recommending is the minister get the relevant ministers on board, and an IMC interministerial committee be established by the president to take this forward. So we have an interest in ensuring that this thing gets implemented. So if the minister is giving me a minister will engage you on this. So we're saying that in each province, for example, in Gauteng, you need the relevant premier, you need the MEC for safety, and local government and transport, and all the issues that are relevant to particular ministers need to come on board, and mayors particularly, and ward councillors. So we need them as an implementing driver to implement this. And then we say that we need a task team of officials from each of these departments to take the processes forward. So and we'd like to see officials being seconded to address the issue. We see in the SAP's presentation that they're taking a responsibility for a lot of things, including engaging the different departments. And we think that it should be bigger than SAP's. It should be the departments responsible. And that's why we're recommending the IMC. The IMC was also recommended by the development community of the JCPS cluster. They said it should be the Minister of Police and Minister of Corporate Governance, because of the link of local government, and because we need that political champions to drive this process. And then, Chair, we also developed, I mentioned this also, that we developed performance indicators for departments. So in terms of if it's Department of Sports and Recreation, they need to take their process forward. So we've developed performance indicators where they would then include this in their APP and ensure that they address safety. In terms of the last slides, Chair, I mentioned before, local government is critical and to addressing it. And in terms of the police, we're saying that We know there's a challenge with resources, and we say that additional resources have to be looked at. We want the appropriate and adequate human resources at police stations. The intelligence capacity must be strengthened as well at police station level. And, Chair, critically, our police resource allocation project we did 2 years ago found that 43% of SAPS Act members are deployed at administrative function at police station level, and only 57% are deployed to street level to do operations. So we're saying SAPS, look at these numbers again, you know, where you can get your operational, your SAPS Act members operational once again to address your resource challenges. And then we have the CPS here. We're saying CPS must be strengthened. As the National Commissioner mentioned, there was a launch of the Community Policing Strategy. We had also developed a policy where we address the challenges that CPFs have discussed in the past in terms of location, funding, and those kind of issues. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. That's the presentation. Thank you very much. Honourable members, we will now go to questions. Of course, I'll give the Minister, after all the input has been made, also an opportunity, as indicated previously. Let's go to the questions. The first few from my side. National Commissioner, if the five police stations that's been presented here today is a priority, why do we sit with this huge gap in terms of staffing? At Johannesburg Central, there's 70 vacancies. 33 is invisible policing. Now, street robberies is that, let's say, crime that affects most South Africans. Now, if you short by 33 in terms of the visible policing, in terms of staff members, you're not going to win that war. Just to get an indication, in the case of Mitchell's Plain, there's vacancies of 119. Now, how do you address that? Who's responsible for that? Is national looking at, is that the responsibility of province? But if there's a vacancies of 119, most of them invisible, you're not going to address the issue of street crime proactively. Can we maybe get a way forward with regard to that? Then the issue that was raised in the last presentation, the coordinating role, and I agree, a lot of the issues that is before us is not the responsibility of SAPS. It's with local government, it's with provincial government, it's with COCTA, and all other role players. But the dilemma is, at local level, who is going to play that coordinating role? And it's not clearly defined in the presentations. Because moving forward, the issues raised by the chair of Nyanga, it's quite clear, transport, local government is not there to play that role. Now, in the end, the police are confronted with those issues. In the end, the police must be the multiple agency that have to deal with everything. So what is the strategic plan? Should it be monitoring and evaluation? What department should play that coordinating role? Otherwise, the police is going to be cocked down every time when service delivery issues come to the fore. So if we can just get a clear indication. And then just the decision tree, I think also the chairperson of Nyanga raised the issue about deployment. What is the decision tree when you decide to deploy specialized units? Of course, there would be certain decisions made at the various levels, because it's impossible to deploy the TRT across South Africa at any specific time. Honourable members, it's very difficult to chair if there's a different meeting taking place. Thank you. So it's important also that we get an indication what is that decision tree, that we can just ensure that the CPFs are on board with regard to that. Let's go to the other members. Honourable Molobasi.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I don't know how... First two subs, or we just fire on. Yeah, two subs. I've got three questions. And can you provide a provisional plan for reducing the crimes at the listed police stations? A second one, what is the analysis of the crime intelligence division showing as far as the reasons why some of the stations persist on being on the list? My third one, has any station commander in any of these listed stations been disciplined in the past 5 years for non-performance? Can I go on, Jack? Okay. My other question is to Johannesburg station commander. We once had a visit to that police station as a portfolio committee in the past, where we found the lift, the building is very long, the lifts were not working, and that is a clear management, a poor management problem. Has the situation improved? But one other thing that I want to bring in is, one policeman told us something very weird, you know, in that visit, that during weekends, the detainees give money to the police and then they can go home. And the police must go out and pick up people in the streets for head count in the cells to replace them. How far through is that? My next one is on this, still on Johannesburg. The second-hand goods outlets. You know, in my area, I sometimes go out to the police to visit the second-hand outlet. What did we find? a lot of heaps and heaps of this stolen corpus, cell phones that were not registered. The issue here, what am I saying here, is police don't know what to do when they go to these second-hand shops. They didn't know what to do. The phones were there that was sold to the outlet. They were not registered anyway. There were heaps and heaps of copper, stolen copper. They didn't know what to do. Are they shown what to do when they go to these second-hand shops? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Molebatsi. Honourable Mumula.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentation. Hey, your presentations are too long. Chairperson, in slide 17, in Nyanga presentation, what is other instruments? In slide 25, in Nyanga presentation, factors inhibiting policing, insufficient of no proper lighting in certain areas, especially in the less formal settlement. Did the SARS management meet with the municipality in order to fix the lighting? To SARS, what is your strategy to deal with station commanders who see repeated increases in crime statistics and whose stations do not show progress? In SARS again, how has the top 30 stations list changed over the past 10 years? In SARS again, can you please provide a provincial plan for reducing the crimes at the listed station in each province? Let me see here, Chairperson. There are a lot of questions. To the Civilians Secretariat, in slide 6, 81 vehicles for the Nyanga, 14 vehicles, and in all the issues that you identified in all these stations, you said the lots of vehicles are in the garage. Here in slide 6, you said 14 at the garage, 9 VSPOL, 4 detectives. For how long are they in the garage? Because when I remember, we were complaining about the garages. We were in Durban when we wanted the plan for the SARS, but we didn't get it. We didn't get the correct answer. Lieutenant General Jafta was there. She didn't give us what we want about the garages. And now cars are still at the garage, and lots of cars. Can you please tell us what is your plan for these garages, for those cars that are in the garages? And you said 10 vehicles are boarded. In those 10 vehicles that are boarded, are they replaced or what? And in the issues you identified in all the stations, you are talking about 73 detectives in slide 8 in Mitchell's Plain. 73 detectives do not have registered informers. How can a detective work without an informer? Can you please explain that? Because I don't understand it. And here in Kagiso, 48 detectives do not have registered informers. But as far as I know, they are claiming for the informer's money, of which is fraud. What is my last question? Hey, look here in Hillbro 134, detectives do not have informers. How can you work without informers? Because when you... And I don't know this slide, you said poor investigation. What did you do about those detectives that are giving poor investigations? Because I think when you have a poor investigation, when that case goes to court, they withdraw it. Do you have a consequence management to deal about the, all those who did that? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Muller. Honourable Bija.
Chairperson, I'm still not ready for questions.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Kodabon.
Thank you, Chair. I understand the need for the focus that we've got. I'm interested in whether you've considered equally announcing the absolute best police station in the country. I'm not talking about something like Mountain Rise where they wheeled out their dockets and wheelbarrows and burnt them in the backyard to solve their crime problem, but really the best station, so that there's a station that all other stations can try and be. It'd be interesting if you are doing or intend to do that exercise. It's also very pleasing to see the plan as a SAPS is slowly but surely being pulled into shape. And I'm seeing more positive news being released about arrests, good PR. I'd like to say fewer reports on drunk cops, but maybe not. But there are plenty of citizens who are covered by stations who fall beneath the top five. Number six down to about number 30 high crime areas, and they're going to be saying to you, why aren't we getting this special treatment? Do you have a plan? Because it might be a backlash that you're going to have to face. I'm interested in Mlazi as the second highest in terms of murder, third in terms of attempted murder, third in terms of sexual offences, and it didn't make this top five list. I know it's not a popularity contest, but we just aren't seeing the improvements. The same stations have been on this list for five, sometimes 10 years or more, same names over and over and over. So while I see a plan going forward, I actually can't see where the previous billions paid in budget have gone to, because I don't see that the names have changed. We're up to 57 murders a day. And ISS told us last week if the SAPS just focused on the top 30 stations, you know, that crime would drop dramatically. I hope you've really taken that on board. I did not see a word about management at the stations. When doing oversight, it becomes obvious. The moment you walk in the door, you can tell that there's a great station commander or a useless one. Either they know everything about the station, the population they serve, what the shortages are, what the problems are, or they have to call in 10 other people to give you answers because they know nothing. Are there station commanders, and I know Angie, Honourable Angie, touched on it, but are these station commanders actually been removed from any of these stations where we're seeing the names over and over and over and nothing's happened? Have there been consequence management? Now, in your analysis, and I don't know if this would fall under the Secretariat, does the crime in a specific area speak to the lack of resources at the specific local station? Because so many of the stations I visit are very far under the rag in terms of personnel. And they say they've got X, but then some are taken to these new units and some are off at court all the time and guarding people in hospitals, and it just comes down and down and down. Or does it speak to lack of personnel, lack of vehicles perhaps, or members of state authority to drive a vehicle? Some of them have 30 people who can't drive a state vehicle. Has that analysis been done? Be most interesting to see the outcome. And the repeat and multiple offenders that were referred to by General Robbie, are they, I mean, how can they be? It's just an impossible statement that you have repeat and multiple offenders and they're still out on the street. So I see you are dealing with the NPA. Is it that they're being released on bail? Is it that they're paying cops to release them? Is it that cops are allowing them bail to be released? Why are they still out there? You know they're there. That's why you're calling them multiple offenders and repeat offenders. But it's where's the line in the sand that they keep crossing? You know, you need to draw that. I see Public Works is missing from your stakeholder list. When, you know, the catastrophic state of many of the stations lies absolutely at their door. It's their fault. The robberies of firearms from stations at night, it's their fault. They've often removed the walls. Oh, we'll come back and fix them. You never see them again. And there are no walls. There's no protection for the police sitting there at 2 o'clock in the morning and they have an AK up their nose and all the firearms are gone. So Public Works should be on that list as far as I'm concerned. Equally, I saw no reference to police criminality or lifestyle audits at these top five stations. You did talk about vetting and screening of all personnel, but lifestyle audits are quite different, and I would suggest that that's also put on the list, because the fact that we heard from the Secretariat that there's the perception that the police are in on it, and I know from talking to IPED that at certain of those stations, the police claim to rescue someone from a crime and pitch the next day and say, here are e-wallet numbers, transfer the money, or you will spend a weekend in jail, we'll guarantee you'll be gang raped. That is one of the cases I've been dealing with the IPED. So, yes, some of the cops are crooks, but they shouldn't be there, but they are. And they're at the same stations who we see on the same list decade after decade. That goes down also to crime intelligence. By now he's realizing he has to work a 72-hour day. And finally, the wanted suspects database. I didn't quite get it when it was read out. It exists already, I presume. Is it linked at all to the DNA database? Is there an interface there between the two? Have you checked through that? Because the one obviously should be complementing the other. Thank you.
Honourable Kota Barnard, Honourable Mshlungu.
No, thank you, Chairperson. You know, Chairperson, when one looks at the information given by Civilian Secretariat in most of these stations, detectives have no attached informants. I think it was going to help the committee to know if, particularly from the National Commissioner, if the generally, as part of operational requirement, all stations in the first place are allocated money or funds, slash fund, whatever you call it, for payment of informers as part of extended gathering of information. If then there is such, and these stations also allocated such money, is there a record to show how that money was utilized? If then there are no attached informers, because you can see from the list given here, you have got a number of detectives without attached informants. Now, to me, that's a real source of first source of a problem. Because how do you gather information about crooks operating in the community if you don't have your eyes and ears on the ground? That's the first question. It's just simple logic. How do you gather that? I'm raising that, Chairperson, because you know, we mustn't then go a long way then after thinking that we are halfway, we get that Mkushana story that this money has been abused, which is just a bombshell on our face. What has happened? If then that money is allocated to stations, What has it been used for? I think it will help us. Because that information is very, very crucial. But maybe the minister will help us as part of the executive to say most of the issues, as you correctly captured, Chairperson, that are actually here. Talk to dilapidated cities and all that, of which without urban renewal taking place, which is a collective duty of various government departments, you cannot expect police really to actually become a silver, to come with a silver magic bullet, silver bullet to these problems. These departments that are responsible for this, at an executive level, is there any kind of a highlight to say what needs to be done in order to get these or to reclaim these buildings back? For example, in Johannesburg, I've seen the mayor of Johannesburg crying very bitterly. I thought that members of the community policy were going to amplify that because he's very much outspoken to say illegal immigrants have captured almost the bigger part of the central Johannesburg, which is a problem. And I'm raising that, Chairperson, because I was a bit worried when one CPF member was saying that they are even contemplating of getting these foreign nationals forming part of security. You cannot actually be protected by people who don't have national allegiance to your country. People who are here in this country, they need us to actually take that responsibility of protecting them. Because if we decide to share our problems of security with them, they will just open us up more because they are just here for economic reasons. You cannot actually, I cannot go to Western countries or anywhere in the world and take responsibility of their own safety there because I'm just a visitor there. I'm guided by my own personal interests that I want to gain out of their own country. That thing can actually expose us. I don't really think that it's a route to go, that you can even contemplate of getting foreign nationals taking part in the affairs of security of the country. So, but I think maybe the minister will have to help us to say, at an executive level, is there a collective responsibility to say, let these departments actually then enter into a collective effort to actually ensure that justice is done, because police alone are not going to be able to win that war. I think that's it, Chairperson, that I can actually say at the moment. Well, lastly, I thought the CPF, particularly in the Western Cape, since the report here, the statistics here indicate that most of the murders here are committed through usage of firearms, largely, if you look at the percentages. I thought that they were going to give us a hint about, because the people who use these weapons are located within the community that CPF also reside with. From their own experiences, where do these guns come from? Particularly in the Western Cape. I know that some of them have been stolen from the police armories and all that. But where do they come from? They might not have correct information, but You cannot have a community chairperson that is just riddled with illegal firearms like what we see here. There must be a kind of just vivid information to say, where do these weapons come from? If then they are solicited from police, what kind of information that can be used to actually ensure that we get rid? Because here in the Western Cape, it's not a question of being theoretical that some police are involved in serious criminal activities here in this province, of which then at a management level, something will have to be done to actually root them out by any means necessary and kick them out of the system if needs be, because you cannot have that. I personally, chairperson, when I visited, when I was going home Durban, when I was boarding the plane there, it was quite shocking to see that gangs could just shoot each other right in the international airport and escape without any interception. Yet that area is so highly secured. And you have got only one exit. You have got so many police deployed there. It tells you that there is something really taking place there. Police cannot just simply say that those people who were just shooting at each other there could just go scot-free and not even being intercepted if it is not involving some of them from within. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Longo. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm just worried that these police stations that are on the top 10 or top 5 remain as they are, year in, year out. How does that happen? I mean, if we say they are hot spots, it means maybe we give extra resources to those police stations. But they remain on the top of the list. All we have is some difference in percentage. This year is a decrease in some percentage. The other day, the other year, some increase. But we don't have an overall difference. How does that happen? What are we supposed to do with that? And the other question would be, wouldn't it be dangerous to have unregistered informers? What does that actually mean? Do we have these informers but they are not registered, or don't we have them all together? And as a detective, how do you work without an informer? In some way or another, whether by force or but there must just be a bimbi somewhere. Otherwise, it means the detective is not doing his or her work. Just a point of interest, in Johannesburg Central, 76 bulletproof vests were lost. 76. I'm just imagining, who are they being stolen, or are they lost? How do you lose a bulletproof vest? And if it's 76, who exactly might be a person who is interested in these things? And for what good purpose would a person do that? A point of interest again, in the Johannesburg Central again, the population in there, it is said that is predominantly foreign nationals. You have an area in the CBD with predominantly foreign nationals. If I was to say it, in my own language, but in English, which is called Bantuism, I would say it is refusing to enter my mind. How does it happen that we have an area in South Africa that is predominantly foreign nationals? And maybe just to try and understand, in the CBD, if we have got SAPS, we have got Metropolis, how do they work together? If you are giving me a data or some profile of the CBD, how do you collect that? Does Metropolis have their own and SAPS their own? How do they work together? Taking it from what is happening in Yanga, where the Metropolis would just move along the highway and not even enter into Yanga itself. So what is supposed to happen? And it was said that there's a problem between the new act that maybe controls neighborhood watch and it gives a problem with the CPFs. If I could get an explanation on to that one. And the very last one, in terms of what is termed top day and time. Usually Sunday, it's Saturday and Sunday and maybe Monday. But in Mitchell's Plain, it's Saturday, Sunday and Wednesday. Just to understand what's happening in Mitchell's Plain on Wednesdays, that would be included in the top day and time. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Allow me by thanking the department and all the role players for their presentations. But Chair, for me, the situation looks hopeless. Let me be very bold and blunt about it. Sorry. The situation for me looks hopeless. Let me just start off, Chair, by talking about the first one. If only 57% of your police officers are being used for operation, and a very great percentage of those are taking sick leave, and another few percent of those for other family matters that stay away, what are you left with? Then take those that are involved in corruption and whatever it is, what are you left with? And you're expecting the police to deal with the matter, it can't. The second problem I have is, Chair, and I must admit that I've been personally saying this for many years until the new minister came in and the new commissioner. And yes, I agree with you. We know these things. Unemployment, overpopulation, inadequate basic services, illegal, all this is not your problem. But I want you to understand something. It's not going to change. Because every department is continuing doing their business the way they have been doing it for all these years. You still have a problem for housing, you're still getting backyard dwellers, you're still getting illegal evictions, you're still getting people putting up informal settlements all over. The unemployment rate is still high. So, in my understanding, the problem for SAPS can only get worse, it can't get better. You've already got a problem in terms of your staffing. You've got other challenges. The problem which is created by other departments is increasing all the time. And you're not taking that into account and you're expecting to be able to deal with it. You're not going to be able to deal with this problem. Unless every department will get a holistic approach to this and bring everybody to the table. Now, you had a very good summit recently. What I only found missing in that summit was some of the culprits or the perpetrators of what is going on, some of the departments, and they were not to be seen. I give you a good example. You arrest people here, and I've had this experience. Police, you arrest them here, you detain them, they get bail immediately the same night. And let me tell you what is also happening. Caledon prison can't hold the people. I know of a person who has been into car hijacking 3-4 times, and every time you're releasing him, they are releasing him because there's no place in the prisons. And he's about to be released. He's appearing today, incidentally, Minister, for car hijacking. And he's going to be, and now he's doing a plea bargain. There's no place in the prisons. Now he's going to tell the police today where the other vehicle is and get released. That is a serious problem we have. So, again, justice is involved. The correctional service is the problem. Human settlement is a problem. Informal settlement. High unemployment rate. Let's be realistic. Let's deal with this thing holistically. Otherwise, you're never going to win this one.
Now let's talk about foreign national, and some of my colleagues are talking about Fort Johannesburg. Now let me take you for a drive this afternoon. I'll show you the entire Milnerton table view, that entire area. There's only foreigners there. There's no local people living there anymore.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what they are busy with. They are busy with drugs. They are busy with prostitution. Yeah. They control the entire sex industry in South Africa, and particularly in the Western Cape. That's how serious the problem is. So it's here right at our doorstep. Maybe we need to go there and have a look and see. Yes, indeed, they are coming here. They are undocumented. Not your problem. You have to deal with the problem. Where is Home Affairs? Where's all the other role players? I can tell you the going rate to come and go out of the border is 50 rand, nothing more. 50 rand to come here and come in and out of some of these borders. That is what it takes you. Because some of them have got absolutely no papers. Now, that's the other challenge. Now, I'm not sure, Chair, whether the issue, because you've got the CPS, you've got the Neighborhood Watch, you've got the police services, and we're not winning this war. And I think I remember asking this question in the Chatsworth police station, or the commander of the station, about the drugs in your area. And he said, no, we know who they are. So I said, so why are you not doing anything about it? It clearly means that the drug dealers and the criminals are more professional than the police, and they know how to deal with you. So, and I know what's the problem, because some of the CPFs that I have spoken to, they know who the drug dealers are having a problem, they say, with the police. Some of very top police officers are frequenting some of these people, and they seem to have a problem. But let's be honest, CPF members, if you're doing your work in the community, must know who the drug dealers are. You must know who the criminals are, particularly in areas where there are more community-based people taking over areas like Johannesburg and things. So if you know who the criminals are, that is why I say even your intelligence and your informers, it's either not working or it's working, but we're not able to deal with the problem. So for me, it seems like that again, the problem is bigger than in the hands of the police services to be able to deal with that. Now, you know, the issue of filing cabinets and all, I must tell you that everywhere we went, in every oversight visit, we picked up this. It's an ongoing thing. Too many detectives in one office, no privacy, no filing. These things are on and on and on. So what you're picking up here is nothing new to us. But I like the idea from, I think it's Bilkis, where she says that when you're planning your strategic plan, your IDP, you must take safety in, you must consider safety. Because it's a very, very serious problem. If you're not going to do that, where are you expecting the resources to come from? And yes, I think, Minister, you were correct when you said you're creating a police station, and then you put the mall 1 year later, and you're creating havoc in that area, but that police station is not designed to cater for that additional influx of people and challenges in the area. So for me, there seems to be a misalignment. Political interference, yes, it's true. Because let me tell you, politics in South Africa is not about the people. It's about power. It's about control. That is what it is about. If we could all work together, we can fight this and we can win it. We can't. Because it's our terrain. It's your terrain. I can't do this. And yes, so I agree with my colleague from Yanga. I've been to some of these areas. The conditions are shocking. I can tell you they're shocking. Backyard dwellers is a thing now. It's a current thing because you're not providing the houses. So what do you expect the people to do? So that's also the challenge. Now, Chair, I've had an experience 2 weeks ago. I went to buy a car. Beautiful car. And I phoned my nephew that night and I said, hey, boy, I want to buy this car. But this thing says 2018 model. And this is something that I've mentioned here before, but not getting enough attention. 2018, I said, 2018 at this price, something must be wrong. He said, don't even touch it. You know what that is? It's a foreign car that they brought into the country, and they must have fraudulently got all the papers, and correctly so, because he said, we stopped making that car in 2011. Do you know why? Because there's corruption in the licensing department, together with the motor vehicle scrapyards, together with the roadworthy centers. That's how easy. So what did this guy do? He's got a legitimate papers. He showed me. I even got copies of it. Legitimate papers, legitimate South African, registered, everything. It's a foreign car. How do you do it? Corruption, because there is collusion between motor vehicle scrapyards. People are stealing motor vehicles because they have a market for each other. And the going price is 3,000 and 4,000 for a brand new car. That is what the going price is. They're stealing the vehicles. They're either going to scrapyards to sell them as parts, or they've got contacts in the licensing department, roadworthy centers. They're getting these things done, and then they're registering those vehicles. That is basically what is happening. So, again, it's a problem that we've been speaking about, but we're not addressing, and I must agree. Copper, you find it in the scrapyards. You really find it. Cell phones. Minister, we need to deal with the cell phone companies. They're making billions of rands, and they're creating the problem for us. Because you can steal a cell phone here, tomorrow you go to that person, a Pakistani national, he's going to open up that thing for you and you can use it. Why are we not putting measures in there when a phone is stolen, finished, scrapped, you can't use it again? Why? Because you're creating a market, but you're creating difficulty for the country, you're difficulty for it. So we need to basically look at that as well. Chair, Brown's Farm, that Philippi area, it's a time bomb, Chair. It's a ticking time bomb if we don't address the challenges of those people in those areas. And maybe we, and yes, politically, yes, we need to come together to see how we're basically going to be able to deal with it. Now, one last question. I've got plenty more, but I'm going to go for one. There is a big difference between the number of people that are arrested and the number of those arrested that are convicted. Either poor police work, detective work, or shortage of detectives. That's why I'd like to know how many dockets is detective holding or carrying at any given time. Or it is collusion, and that is why I repeatedly say, can we also have a system, Commissioner, to be able to identify, let me give you an area of Mitchell's Plain. You know who are criminals, they're involved in drugs. Let's give you that example. I don't know, you might have been arrested 3 times or 4 times and being released. I want to know whether the same detective was handling that, that this man was released or acquitted or cases were drawn on. Is there a way to monitor? Because if you've got 10 detectives in a police station in an area and these crimes are happening all the time, you are bound to have the same detective dealing with the same criminal, creating a relationship so that criminal is going to get away. Now, are we able to monitor that and check what is the situation? Because we know who they are and they're getting away. Now, bail, you're giving them bail. Bail are coming out overnight. In fact, the guy goes in today, he comes out. Now, I want to know how many of those people are getting bail, Minister, that are repeat offenders. Because clearly then there's something wrong with the justice system. Chair, I'm going to stop with that because I think I'll be is unfair with so many other people that are there. But I have tons of them to be able to ask, Chair.
Thank you, because our time is a problem today. Honourable Bailey.
Thank you, Chairperson, and just apologies for my late arrival this morning. I am partly covered by the Chair's question relating to under capacity at the stations, as we saw with the vacancies. But the specific questions I'd like to ask, just to extend on that theme, is to ask how long have those vacancies existed at the stations where they were in the fixed establishments? And that links to the question that Honourable, I think it was Mabija, who asked of why is it that these stations, or at least most of them, have remained on this top 10 list for 5 years or more in some cases? There's clearly a chronic issue here. If things are at a standstill, given how bad the crime situation is that they're trying to address, and in particular, even to date, why have those vacancies not been filled? My second question relates to a particular point in the presentation on, I think it was the Joburg Central SAPS. I just wanted to ask for clarity on the mention of sex workers as a causal or contributing factor to crime. I wasn't quite able to understand what the logic behind that was, because if anything, many sex workers are themselves victims of crime because of their vulnerable situation. And then over and above that, there's a very high likelihood that they don't report because of the risk of secondary victimization at the hands of some police. So I just wanted to understand the location of sex workers as a causal or contributing factor to crime in that one presentation. It was the one thing that just kind of threw me. I didn't understand that. Chair, in relation to the intervention plans that were presented for all the stations, I'm afraid not for the first time, I find myself rather underwhelmed by what was outlined, because the intervention plans to address the high and persistent crime situation in those precincts sounded very much like what I would call the basics of conventional policing. One wasn't sharing a great deal of innovation, a departure from standard practice. So in assessing that, one must deduce that either these plans or what's contained in these plans was simply not being implemented in the past, which means the basics weren't being done. And I think the SAPs have conceded to that previously, hence the need for a back-to-basics approach. And or they were being attempted to some degree, but without adequate resourcing or capacity. So which one is it? Have we been largely twiddling our thumbs for the last 10 to 15 years, or have we just not been putting enough fuel in the tank to actually drive the machine to achieve the objectives that it should? Fourthly, in relation to the intervention plans, the one missing element that I did not see forefronted, at least, if not mentioned at all, is the value add that technology can bring to policing. We know that the SAFs is shrinking. You know, we've got the budget baselines being cut. We've got the post-establishment being reduced. We see it reflected in some of the vacancies here, and just the general understaffing at station level. And the one low-hanging fruit or quick win to compensate for that, exponentially in some cases, is through technology. That was just nowhere on the slides. So I'd like to ask: is the issue of technology value add in policing anywhere on the radar of SAFs management, and what does that look like? We've had one presentation, Chair, but a lot of it sounded like, you know, work studies and exploring this option and thinking about that. But I think the time for thinking is long over, and it's now time for action. And there are many benchmarks and best practice models to emulate. I believe the National Commissioner himself and the team have been to China, as the committee has been, and that's where we saw exactly what that looks like and how it can work. And then finally, Chair, a very specific question about one of the stations, although the broad theme has come up already. There have been persistent complaints about corruption among some Hillbrow SAPS officers who either collude with or turn a blind eye to organized criminality. Hillbrow is just notorious for having that reputation. So I'd like to ask specifically, what is being done to address that problem in relation to that station and that precinct? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to say something. It's an input, in fact, that we have the SAPs, and we heard that there are a lot of sick leaves. I just want each one of us here to put themselves in the boots of the men and women in blue, looking at the situation they are working in. If they try to protect some other people and unfortunately, maybe one gets hurt or die, they go to jail. And they are human beings. The working conditions they are faced with are so too much for them. And I suspect that a lot of these police officers, they are suffering from a thing called a burnout syndrome. You try the best you can to work, but you just go against a hard wall. You try to do this, you don't win. And the next thing, you lose appetite to work for your own people, because you cannot push more. So I should think this thing, it needs all politicians to sit down and discuss about this issue. And I should think if we do not do that, because there are so many contributory factors to this crime that we are faced with here in South Africa, it's just a pity. This is not a political ground. This is an administrative. We are in a meeting, not in a political meeting. So I should think I cannot speak completely and freely as is now. But all I can say that we have our minister here. He's running from point A to B to G. He's there, that way, together with NETCOM. This way, that way, up, down, all over. They're just running around and they're doing their best. Even the police, all of these police, they're doing the best they can. But there are contributory factors that makes them to lose the culture of working, and so they will play truancy. I'm sick, they go on sick leave, and so on and so on. And it's up to us, all political parties, to sit down without the administrative component and see how best to solve this thing. I should think, let me stop here, because as I'm speaking, I can hear some saying, huh? So it means maybe I'm going wrong. This is not a platform where I can say some of these things. But in reality, if all political parties does not come together and stop fighting for power, we won't manage to fight these criminals. The situation is completely out of hand. Moreover, that even our mindset now, it's changed. Money comes first. If we can check all those things that are happening, it's because of money. And before money was introduced here, we used never to have all these things. I can kill her. I can also do burglary in her house.
Oh, hell no.
I can also do any. I can even kill you, Minister, just looking at you through magic, just because of money. And money, money only, money. We fail to love our poor, the poor people. We fail to love one another. We fail to think and assist others. What we think about is having money, if I can have money. And I hate to know the person who first introduced money here, because he made us lost to. It's like we're all, there's no one who does not want money. Seated here, more than three quarter of us, there's a wrong that we are doing so that we get money. And we expect poor men in blue and women in blue with their minister to cater for all these rubbishes that we are doing. Whereas there are people who are supposed to do their job.
in other words, we have government branches like the municipalities, the local stations, the local magistrate courts, and so on. Those are the branches of our government. And if they do not do their job properly, police will continue being hacked by us, telling them there's this and this happening, you are not doing this and this, you are supposed to do this and this. The best thing is to do, every day we come in here, we'll be telling police, you are not doing right here, yes, it's correct here, you are supposed to do this and this. Ever since I've been in Parliament, things are going way higher. There is more problems than ever. And if we don't change our modus operandi on how to deal with the mindsets of all the people here, we won't win the war. This war of the what is happening now. It's just a pity. I speak Chivenda, and it's impossible for me to speak out my genuine sense using the Queen's language. Had I been able to people to have gadgets to listen, I would speak in Chivenda so that you get the gist of what I want to put it through to this committee. We will meet every week, every day in boardrooms here in government. But I'm telling you, if we don't turn and change the mindset of the masses, we are not going to win. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I've allowed a lot of input. I think some cases 19 questions, speeches, interpolations, but we've got less than 30 minutes left for responses, so let's go immediately to the Minister, the Commissioner, and then the Secretariat, and of course those specific CPFs and station commanders that's been asked questions. Minister?
Chairperson, I will request not to be regarded as undermining the committee as I finish and I leave. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to start. I'm sure specific questions will be done by the Commissioner. I just want to take care from Mama Picha and Mama Kola. I did say it last time that I'm very worried the way I concur with Kola these days. You see, it will be good one day to sit here and talk about good things police do. Yeah. Just call the meeting, Chair, of good things police do. It will be good. Because looks like whenever I think of police, you think of punchbacks. Well, I don't know. Maybe I hated police too much, and now I love them too much. To understand them better where we are. Somebody spoke, I think is an honorable member, spoke about the full prisons. Not a single prisoner that marches to that prison. Not one that marches to prison and don't go to be arrested. They are all sent there by the police. Not one that marches there. I'm told that prisons are 42% overcrowded. And not a single prisoner that marches there. They are arrested by these women and men in blue. Under really trying circumstances. Hard circumstances. I spent a lot of time in operations going with them. Last Friday, Commissioner, we went to Westbury. We're in Westbury between 8 and 12 midnight to see how people live in Westbury. How? And I must say, at about 10 to 10, I saw a young lady walking with a baby alone in the middle of Westbury. And I said, life is becoming normal there. and because of the police intervened there. There was a time here when it was so abnormal not to have a cash heist. It was a daily bread. Until yesterday, with the one that at Utrecht, people have forgotten about cash heist in the country. And it was not an intervention of the Holy Ghost. It's because the police put it in perspective and it happens. Life is tough there. I have suggested, Chairperson, before, I want to repeat. One time it would be fine to have a portfolio committee, joint portfolio of the cluster. Of the cluster of the JCPS. I have suggested this thing before. Have the cluster and all committees of the cluster, they meet the cluster committees. Because there are segments. You know, there is a guy here called PP. Muzuvugile Wellington PP Ngedane, who is linked to 23 cashized. These 23 cashized did them while he was on parade. He was on parade. He was on bail after the cash heist and attempted murder of the South African police member in the shootout, but he still went to bail. Now, and everybody would ask what the police are doing. Maybe this invitation, Chairperson of the cluster, will come after we have presented as a cluster the document to the cabinet and adopted. It is called the stimulus, the economic stimulus of the economic stimulus of the security cluster. Things that we think that can be done to improve the situation of economy in the country. Because there is this tendency to think that everything is about economy and nothing else but economy. You see, the economy, if security situation is not there, would be like a leaking calabash. It's a calabash that will never be filled. So we have, cabinet has taken it, we have put top five things to look at that you can increase and improve the economy where women and children are not safe. Where there is corruption. And I hear everybody talks here, and you talk so less about corruption. That is a big hole in the calabash. That's a big hole in the calabash. And it's across the board, and it's across the humankind. Police are just unlucky, and they're bad in Zulu. That is, they are looked as the most corrupt. I go on. You see, you go to hospital, there is no medicine in the hospital. And all medicine are in Zampati's bedroom. But I don't want to talk about those. I want to talk about this sector. You see, President has put the SIU on the what are these people, Bumthetho, on the state attorneys. Why President has put the SIU? Because they've boxed 80 billion. Those are state lawyers that nobody does, who knows that they are corrupt, only police that are corrupt. They box 80 million with one chief magistrate that is driving badly. Not chief magistrate, chief prosecutor. Chief prosecutor is a chief director. You can't drive badly. You can't drive badly and live in the three floor house that is built by yourself. Well, he's suspended, I'm sure he'll be arrested and all that. What he did, this man and myself sitting in the office, some people came to take our cars and our furniture because we have settled 37 million with a criminal that is in court. And these state lawyers, they certainly minus us and they give them us to pay them 37 million. But there is a bigger one. And the story that keeps coming off the of us is called the illegal arrest. We're paying a lot of money out of the thing that we're illegally arresting people. But when we're on the roadblock and we tell you a drunk sock bob, we'll arrest you. Driving drunk, we will. And come Monday, the same attorneys that I'm talking about, the state, there is a group of attorneys that they work with the state attorneys how to help these people to take the police to court for illegal arrest. These are the state attorneys. That's why I'm saying, invite the cluster one day so that we say these things among and between ourselves when we are all there. The best crime planners are in prison, and they are planning in prison. So if you want the best planners of taxi problem, go to Wellington and Wintat prison. Every weekend they take Kuchete, the Nyamelosi, we try to send these guys in prison, they meet, and take the plans how to run the problem, how to run a mock with the taxi industry. So there's a problem. The one generic thing I want to say, Honorable JJ Smoshov, ask the question, why these stations are forever in top when it comes to crime? Because they are in the unchanged situation forever. They're in the unchanged situation forever. And if those conditions don't change, there shall be no change. I think one place I know almost most now is the Western Cape. I think I know even more than Durban now. Western Cape. Both the Cape Flats where Khaled lives and where Africans live. So that secretary of Nyanga, they wanted this TRT, but everybody wants TRT now. What happened? We sent TROT, 204 of them, to be trained, and only 36 passed. Because to be TROT, I don't know. Yeah. Only 36 passed. They wanted 66 or 62. So now they say, bring this 36 here. We have to speed the 36, because not only them who want them. But if you send 204, and only 36 passes, it tells you the kind of the calls they do. And they're all young people. You don't, if you are over 30, you don't go to TROT. You grow there and all that. But the real issue that we have to deal with are the conditions that cross a cut politics, geographics, and every other thing. You see, I walk this place. I walk that Nyanga. I walk that Polyvan. I walk that Hanover Park. I walk ASEC. I was in ASEC last. I walk here in this Western Cape flats. I know it. One thing that we have to do here is an environmental design. Without that environmental design, forget about it. So, I went to Makaza, I went to Brown's farm, I went to where yourself as human beings, the passage. Forget, yeah, you can't go across one another in the passage. They've never seen anything called the light at night. Nothing. Never, ever. When the light comes, the night comes. And there is a township of toilets there. You go to Makaza, you go to Kuna township here, toilets. Akiwi township, yeah, my toilets. When people they are called, they have to go there in the middle of the night. They have to go there. And nobody talks about those things here. I'm asking this guy, when do you go to toilet? Said, no, after 10 there is no toilet. Every toilet is a bucket. You and your kids and everybody. And you look at pigs as you speak to people. You look at you. They're not looking at human beings, you see. They're not. You're looking at pigs. When the father, the mother, the kids, they must queue in one room, they must queue in one bucket. All of them to wet themselves in the bucket. And you expect those people to be normal, to live life and all that. It cannot be. JJ, that's why. Until those conditions change, behavior of people won't change. I said one day, if I go to Nyanga, I go to Philip and come with the buses and pull those people in the bus and tell them to Bishopsgate or tell them to Camps Bay, they will shoot nobody, they will stab nobody, they wake up in the morning, enjoy the bird singing, enjoy the greenery, and live well. If you say no, let's take them to Bishopsgate and take everybody to Bishopsgate to Nyanga. Let's do the basics here. The basics is an overall change of human life. All of us. All of us. Che, I want to make the invitation that make this cluster, but after the cluster, invite other relevant departments. This human settlement, your DSD, your health, your education, special basic education, your transport. Here in Western Cape, when it comes to transport, and these more matters are in the transport sector. Are in the transport sector. You go to Delft, 13 people are killed in one weekend. And it's not the police matter, it's a traffic matter. Is a permit matter, is a run problem. That is not the National Police Department dealing with those, are the local and provincial governments. So let's be open about this thing. Let's put a little bit of politics out of it and look at the lives of the people. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Commissioner, over to you. I think there's a lot of questions, but see what you can do in the next 10 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And thank you, Honorable Minister, Honorable Members. Yeah, Chair, I don't think I will answer all of them. I would rather try to give a strategic response. It's just important for me, adding from both the Secretariat and from the Minister, I still want to repeat the Chapter 12 NDP caption. Due to the collapse of the National Crime Prevention Strategy, the SAPS became an all-purpose agency with an overstretched mandate impossible to fulfill. It's still standing like that in the NDP. So I want to repeat, the SAPS mandate is overstretched. Two, it's impossible to fulfill. Then I want to add to the proposal by the Secretariat that maybe the 5 police stations, Chair, if we could have a master project plan for all of them, a master plan, and we can then look at getting all the stakeholders with the help of the committee so that we run multidisciplinary projects to address the holistic root causes for these stations to come to this particular point. And adding to what the minister said, the proposal of the cluster, I wanted to further propose, because at cluster level we also propose an inter-cluster coordination approach, because the majority of these root causes that are impacting the native remedies police stations, they even fall outside the JCPS cluster. So I think that is the... Then my last two proposals on those is also a proposal of inter-committee interaction, because the other departments, they are oversighted by other parliamentary committees. And on the same matters that impact negatively on us, we don't think they are held accountable as we are held here. So maybe it's a proposal that for that inter-committee. The last one is very important for me. We do not have a central performance management system. Nothing assists to hold each and everyone who's responsible for what is not done there, to hold that those particular departments accountable, and also based on those priorities. So now you are then sitting with a span of 10 horses pulling a wagon. Only one horse is pulling, and you want the wagon to go, you keep on lashing the horse that pulls. Hence, the high rate of sick leaves, yeah, the police, they can no longer make it. And what make it worse, the UN stats, the ratios, we've said them repeatedly here. 1:220, currently 1:383. If you calculate it, 57.3, 62,000 under strength. So these members are doing the job of 62,000 other members. I'm not surprised about that particular rate, but I'm trying to motivate them. But I think we need that support. Chair, there was some of the strategic questions, the staffing gaps. I've issued a directive from my office that all vacancies at police stations be filled. And the directive was clear before the end of December. Currently posts, others are in a process of being filled. Others are on advert. But all of them, they are supposed to be filled, and that instruction is cut and dry. Despite filling them, Chair, I've also ordered the total review of the SAPS personnel plan so that we start working towards closing the gap between the ratios and the public demand, the population demand. I'm sure we've seen the same with the police stations here. Those particular gaps, all the police stations have got inflated profiles. None of those stations has got the capacity to live up to the size of the profile. The profile has far outgrown the police station. It would be better with Nyanga when Samora Machel start functioning, because Nyanga is supposed to be, that profile requires two police stations. And it's more or less the same with many of them. The criteria, Chair, that we use to determine these particular police stations, we use the stabilization criteria. And within CI, we do the crime weight analysis of those particular stations. But also from a modus operandi analysis point of view, we also then analyze the modus operandi and also get it into a database. And we then come up with crime weight reduction interventions. But the police can only do 10% out of 100 to reduce the weight of crime, because it is generated by the profile based on factors that are out of control of the police. And the environmental design in the country is deteriorating. It's not improving. Hence the minister, what he said. How does the police improve within a deteriorated environmental design? I think we must improve both, but there's always one that comes before the other, and I suspect in this case is the environmental design. And we want to propose crime prevention through environmental design. The coordination part, Chair, that you spoke to, I wanted to outline the two functions in the National Crime Prevention Strategy. There's a strategic function and there's a line function. Both of them are coordinating functions. The strategic function flows from the presidency right through the premier's office, the provincial government, and right through the local governments at your mayors. But the line function is coordinated right from the Minister of Police, and it goes through the line functionaries up right up to the public safety, through the MECs, right up to the public safety components of municipalities. And it's supposed to happen by means of a structured plan. Amongst others, at local level, at municipality level, you need a community safety plan in order to enhance that community, that particular coordination. And what is still standing as a challenge, the majority of municipalities do not show those community safety plans. And if that is the case, you already have a problem, because you might even be sitting with a community safety forum without a community safety plan. And we can't link the police operational plan. But those are the things that we would like to be put in place. Then we're also suggesting a local crime prevention framework, which I think is supposed to be an outcome of the crime summit that has been recently held. There is a national plan for the top 30 police stations. So this top 5 is within the top 30. The national plan is a stabilization and normalization plan for all the top 30, and it's following the geographical approach. But also, Chair, I just want to add that there's other stations beyond the top 30 that are as notorious as you'll see within the top 30. So apart from the top 30, we also have a stabilization and normalization plan which also intend to capacitate all police stations in the country so that we sustain policing, and we also make sure that the creation of a safe and secure environment is not discriminatory to the communities, and then we then care for all of them. There was a question on the station commanders. Are they redeployed? Is there consequential management that is taken? I think maybe let me start with the deployment. Yes, there has been deployments in the past, but not very structured and not very informed by the performance management system. Currently, I've ordered a review of the performance management system, and I think it's completed. And their deployment, their performance, their assessment is all linked to the performance management system. That also includes consequential management in case they fail to deliver. But linked to this is also their training and development so that they meet those particular competencies. Currently, with the reorganization process, yes, there will be some movements expected of station commanders because we're looking at their profiles. And that includes a competency that is a profile. Then, Chair, there's specific questions that could have been answered by the station commanders themselves. But a part I will take is that on informers, there's national instruction. And it's not negotiable. And it's part and parcel of basic policing. They must have informers. If they don't have, it's a misconduct. So, in the recent detective conference, there has been a national norm adopted, and it has been translated into a national, that is, instruction. The minimum that each detective must have is 3 informers. And that's the new instruction that is being followed and then is being applied at the present moment.
Sorry, National Commissioner, I'm going to give you 1 minute for everything else. The other responses, the general and the generic ones, of course, we can receive that in writing and then I give the secretary 3 minutes, and then we're going to close. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. I think, Chair, maybe let me then conclude by saying, one, we will then continue to implement the national plan, and part of the national plan, there's a support plan for police stations. And we will also then hold them accountable in order to be able to deliver the expected results. Then we will support them through the review personnel plan process and then from the business case that we've also submitted to the Treasury. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, National Commissioner. Anything else from the Secretariat, specific responses?
Honorable Chairperson, I think most of the issues that I was going to respond to the National Commissioner has addressed it. The only point that I want to say is that we haven't had an opportunity to actually plan together. I know my meeting with General Jefta in terms of what transpired out of the summit is being postponed because we are reporting every week here. We need some space to actually go and put a proper plan, joint plan. So some of the things I'm raising here, General Jefta says, you have this information that I want. I'm hearing it for the first time here. So we will need that space so that jointly with the South African Police Service, we can deal with this issue of the summit. Because the implementation of the white paper on safety and security will actually address a number of these issues. There's a question regarding the legislation governing patrollers, which I think the province, I don't know if...
Mr. Rapia, those are specifics you can respond
to. We can send it in writing.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, honorable members, National Commissioner, Secretary of Police, also the various station commanders, as well as the CPF chairs. Thank you very much for coming to this meeting. I think it was a very important meeting, but it is quite clear a lot of work must still be done. We need the South African Police Service to ensure that those stations have got the necessary resources in terms of staffing, so that at the end of this September we expect 100% human resource deployment, also additional support, and of course the use of special units to assist, especially in the areas where there's currently huge challenges. Of course the issue of environmental design and economic issues, that is issues we'll have to take up with other committees. We have taken note of the concerns raised also by the various CPF chairs, and we want to thank them for their contribution. Honourable members, we will meet tomorrow at 9. Thank you very much. This meeting is closed. Okay.